Now, I'm going to touch very briefly on the sacrament of the anointing sick. I'm almost out of time. A quote from the letter of James. This is where James shows us that this continues in the life of the church. Jesus, though, in his own healing ministry, and then when he sends out the apostles, he tells them that they are to lay hands on the sick, and they will get well. And they are to pray, and they are to be instruments of healing. Is anyone sick among you? Let him call for the presbyters of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick man, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed any sins, he will be forgiven. The sacrament of anointing a sick has as its purpose the conferral of a special grace on the Christians experiencing the difficulties inherent in the conditions of grave illness or old age. All right, a special grace to help them deal with the difficulties inherent in the conditions of grave illness or old age. The proper time for receiving this holy anointing has certainly arrived when the believer begins to be in danger of death because of illness or old age. Certainly has arrived. In fact, you should have received it sooner than that, all right? Each time a Christian falls seriously ill, he may receive the anointing of the sick, and also when after he has received it, the illness worsens. Only priests, presbyters, and bishops can give the sacrament of the anointing of the sick using oil blessed by the bishop or, if necessary, by the celebrant himself. I can bless the oils that would be used in the anointing of the sick. I cannot bless the chrism. That is the only oil that the priest, only the bishop can bless. The celebration of the anointing of the sick consists essentially in the anointing of the forehead and hands of the sick person in the Roman rite, which we are a part of, the Roman ritual, or of the other parts of the body in the Eastern rite. So if you go to one of the Eastern churches and they're celebrating the sacrament, they're going to anoint the eyes, they're going to anoint the ears. You know, it's not just the forehead and the hands. The anointing being accompanied by the liturgical prayer of the celebrant asking for the special grace of the sacrament. Now here, these are the graces. What is it that the person receives? The special grace of the sacrament of the anointing of the sick has as its effects the uniting of the sick person to the passion of Christ for his own good and that of the church. So it joins my sufferings, whatever sufferings from old age or from sickness that I'm going through, it joins that to the sufferings of Christ for my own benefit, but also for the sake of the church. I make up in my own body what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ for the sake of his church. This is what St. Paul teaches us. And so the sacrament helps us to accomplish that uniting of ourselves with the passion of Christ. Another effect, the strengthening, peace, and courage to endure in a Christian manner the sufferings of illness or old age. The forgiveness of sins, another way in which I can receive the forgiveness of sins, if the sick person was not able to obtain it through the sacrament of penance. If the person is in a coma, the person's unconscious, all right? And they're not going to return, but they are of the heart and mind that if they did, they truly are sorry for their sins, all right? And they desire reconciliation with God. The sacrament accomplishes that. The sacrament of the anointing of the sick accomplishes that. If they gain consciousness, they're still under the obligation to go to confession. The restoration of health, if it is conducive to the salvation of his soul. We start off talking about that. That Jesus is primary concern with the health of my soul, not my body. And the restoration of my physical health is given if Jesus thinks that is going to be best for myself, the salvation of my soul, or the souls of others. And, this is very important, the preparation for passing over to eternal life. The sacrament of the anointing of the sick is given to those who are dying and who are going to die. They are going to die, and none of us get out of here alive. You all know that, right? All right, we're all going to die, no matter how many times we get prayed over by, you know, any, or how many times we bathe in the waters of Lourdes or do whatever, we are all going to die. We are all going to get to die. But the sacrament helps us be ready for that, perhaps that peaceful death that we all hope that we're going to have, where we come to the end trusting in God's mercy and love. I'm going to take just a couple of minutes just to ask questions, open to questions. Yes?
Is it possible for a person to be born
without a conscience? You know, I think that there's two different ways in which we have to look at that, and I'm not sure that I'm going to be able to give you a good answer to this, because I guess the answer is I don't know. It's not possible for a person to be born without a soul, all right? So my presumption would be that everybody is born with a conscience. The effects of original sin are very different in each one of us. Certainly some of us are born born more damaged by original sin than others. Some of us are born with a more hard, recalcitrant soul, more rebellious against God than others. All right. So it is possible that someone could be born with a soul which would possess a conscience that was in very, very bad shape. All right. So I would say no. Though psychologically, that's when we talk about sociopaths. So we say this is a person without a conscience. That is a person without a sense of right or wrong, or who just simply doesn't care. All right. That can happen on a psychological level, but the soul is on a deeper level. The soul is on a deeper level. We can all have poorly formed consciences, and we can also have deadened consciences. I don't know if we ever could reach a point. Now, this might be what Jesus means by the sin against the Holy Spirit, all right? Which would be if my sin has been so persistent and so much of a rejection of God that I just reach a point of hardness of heart where God's grace just simply cannot get in anymore, and there is no capacity for God's grace to call me home, all right? That would be that hardness of heart that is described as the sin against the Holy Spirit. That is possible. But I don't know that somebody could be born that way. Again, people can be born very damaged psychologically and emotionally, and then life itself can bring on more wounds emotionally and mentally and emotionally, and that certainly has an impact on the soul. But I don't know. I don't think that I could say, yes, that somebody could be born without a conscience. They could be born without a conscience that's very active. All right? But not without a conscience itself. Terry?
What about when priests use oils? Are you supposed to be using oils?
Okay. Should we be using oils other than with the sacrament of the anointing of the sick? No. Well, for a long time it was going on, and that was kind of be accepted. Finally, the Congregation for the Sacraments laid down a law saying stop it, because it's confusing. It's confusing. Not because it's in and of itself inappropriate to use oils other than the anointing of the sick for praying over people, but it confuses people concerning what's sacramental and what's not. And so it's saying, okay, do it some other way. You can do it with laying on of hands, you can do all kinds of things, but don't use oils except for the anointing of the sick, because it confuses the faithful. All right? Okay. Joe.
Getting back to confessions, when you're saying about what to come up with when you confess, is there a website or something that we can look at and say, okay, these are your venial sins? I know what my mortal sins are, but.
Okay. There are various, if you stop down here at the bookstore down here, I'm sure that there are various books that have examinations of conscience that are in them. Probably there is online. If you go in and just say, Catholic examination of conscience, all right, and just kind of Google that or whatever, something will come up. I don't know, and just to see there, some are going to be better than others, all right. Some strike me as healthy and balanced. Some strike me as a little extreme, all right. Some of the examinations of consciences that I've seen have been almost, insignificant. I mean, because it's almost like, well, just be nice, just be nice. And that's, if you're not nice, that's the only sin that you can commit, is being impolite, all right? And, and they don't go far enough. So I think you have to be careful with that. But that's online. You'll find something. Certainly at a Catholic bookstore, you'll find something that will help you with an examination of conscience. Also, a lot of people, when they come in, it really is amazing. People come in the Sacrament of Reconciliation. And it's like, Father, bless you, Father, for I've sinned. It's been a couple of years since I came. And I can't think of that much that I do. All right. I really think, you need to be spending some more time reflecting on this. All right. Because, again, my reaction is, I've committed more sins than that since you walked in here. All right. So, I have people who are really wonderful, holy people, striving for real holiness and closeness to God, who come to confession every week or two, and who have no problem coming up with what sins that they have committed. I know that Pope John Paul II went to confession every single week. All right. And so obviously he was able to see in himself sins that were there. What happens again when we're not going very often is we become desensitized to sin, and we begin not recognizing it and not seeing it. So this is why I suggest to people, go home and ask your spouse. Tell your spouse, Father, I went to confession today, and I couldn't think of anything to tell Father that I've done wrong, all right, in the last 2 years. Can you help me? Or, if it's a kid, go home and tell your mom and dad that you went to confession and you couldn't think of anything that you have done wrong. Could they help you, all right? Or go to work and talk to your people that you work with. Can you help me in my examination of conscience discover what sins and shortcomings I might have, because I can't find any, all right? After they finish laughing, all right, listen to what they have to say, all right? I think sometimes, and you've heard me probably say this, that I think couples should have to go to confession together. And the wife would confess his sins, and the husband would confess her sins, and we get a lot more done. We get a lot more done that way. So we do. We have a tendency to kind of blind ourselves sometimes to our sins. So, okay. I don't want to go any longer. Next week we're going to get into the sacraments of matrimony and of holy orders, and spread the word about this prayer series we're going to be doing. And let's stand and close with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. Amen. Thank you.